B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Why don't you sing like Felger and Mass being on remote? See how it sounds.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to work well. A.
B.
C.
That didn't work yesterday.
The old ABC test never fails us.
Okay, now you start, Beetle.
Six 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We started the day with this. The Patriots may be on the verge of a quarterback change. If you look carefully at the quote from Bill Belichick on Sunday after the game, he did not commit to Cam Newton going forward the way he had on two previous occasions. He mentioned Cam Newton's performance a week ago in a Patriots loss, but he did not say the same things that he had said in previous instances of being asked, is Cam Newton your quarterback? He always said, absolutely, Cam's our guy. That's what he's always said until this week. And then Dan Roach asked Bill Belichick about the possibility of changing quarterbacks this week, given that yesterday Cam Newton showed up on the team's injury report. He's on the injury report with a ab issue of some sort. Again, after the loss to San Francisco, Bill Belichick, is Cam your quarterback? Yeah, absolutely. And that was when Stidham had gotten into the game. Asked after Buffalo, he said, quote, Cam's our quarterback. That's the way it's been all year. After the game on Sunday, as part of his answer, is Cam your quarterback? We just kind of keep working to get better. And then this, Dan Roach asking about the possibility of playing another quarterback, given that Cam Newton is now apparently hurt.
Just obviously, you know, as over the course of being here with the Patriots, anytime you see a quarterback go on the injury or practice report with anything, there's concern, maybe a core. Any concern for Cam this week when it comes to getting ready?
Yeah, we'll just update it as we go through the week here, and depend on how it goes. If there's an adjustment we need to make, we'll make it.
It's interesting.
If there's an adjustment we need to make, we will make it.
I've never heard a term that way. You know what it does too? It also gives both players a kick in the ass as far as a motivational thing. Like, Cam's, oh, is coach opening the door? I better play my ass off or I could lose this. And Stidham's like, ooh, I got an opportunity here. Maybe I need to get it going. You sort of, you know, with that kind of tweener-type comment, you're giving a little kick in the ass to both guys, aren't you?
I think
you
so.
Could. Yeah.
I mean, you could be, but I also think the injury gives them cover. It gives them cover to make a swap without it being about just the performance of Cam Newton. It's shielding Cam Newton a little bit. It's protecting Cam Newton, something that we felt the Patriots and Bill Belichick specifically have really sort of done all year long. And if that's what they're setting themselves up for, to get away from Cam Newton, I think it's the wrong move. I think they should stick with Cam Newton. They've gotten this far with Cam Newton. They can get to the finish line with Cam Newton. And I just think the team believes in him. I think the team wants him as their quarterback. The guys on the team do.
Also, I was in Rentham and I hit. It was Cumbies. This guy goes, man, why you guys kill Cam Newton so bad? Why you guys curse? I said, I think we're pretty fair to him. When he's good, we compliment the hell out of him. And when he's bad, he's not bad. He's really bad. Like, there's bad play in the league. Like, I would say Derek Carr at times, you know, has bad games, you know. Aaron Rodgers made the joke, on my worst day, it's career days for other guys, you know. Like, bad play is, we'll throw for 340 yards and have three picks. Ryan Tannehill in his early days with Miami. Fun, you know, throw for a ton of yards. You know, they'd have a touchdown or two, but there'd be three picks and a fumble and strip sack. Like, that's a bad day. Less than 100 yards, a 20-3 rating. Two turnovers where it could have been four. That is a horrifically bad day. Like, there are a couple or a string of those. It's not like it's an anomaly and there's the one. And maybe it was weather. But then he protected the ball and played well in the weather, and we complimented the hell out of him. Like, our job is to say what we're seeing.
All right, so and, five
like,
and
what
six.
Game are you watching?
At 5-6, and anything that Cam gets thrown his way this week, he deserves. I mean, look at the game. And I don't think anyone's, at least on this show, has not been all that hard on him. 5-6. Are they 5-6 with Brian Hoyer as their starter?
Probably a game less.
Are they 5-6 with Jarrett Stidham as their starter?
Hold on. No, what game did Cam win for you other than the opener?
Well, I mean, you have to also factor in how many games has he lost for you, depending on how you want to ask that question.
It's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking about it in terms of minimizing losses, accumulating wins.
We thought he was so damn good in Seattle, but he said after the game, "Man, I could have cut that outside. I probably should have went outside." Did he misread the run on the final play?
Maybe he did, but are you even in the game? Are you in the game with either of the other two quarterbacks?
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
So either.
Well, I don't know about Stidham. How am I supposed to know?
I don't know. Maybe with
you're supposed to know because every time he gets into a game, he sucks.
Yeah, that's somewhat expected when you don't rep.
Here's what I think. When we talk about the possibility of changing at this point, and now it seems like at least it's a conversation. Maz brings up some good points, and it wasn't the definitive Cam is our quarterback type of answer from Bill Belichick, right? Okay, why would you change now? Like, what is different? At 5-6, if anything, you're a little bit better off than you were a few weeks ago. Why would it be a consideration now? That's what I can't wrap my head around.
It would have to be because Stidham has looked great in practice, and there are legitimate concerns about Cam's health. And
Cam's
that
health
this is real. That's
Cam's,
real.
Cam's
right?
health
that
is
the
injury
is real, and it's not made up.
Right.
Or it's what Zoe just slid in there after we talked about this once 2 hours ago. I know he's been popping around on his phone lately, but then the second time around on this topic, it's, well, maybe they're just trying to give a little kick in the ass to one of these guys to see who steps up in their absence. That's an interesting comment. It wasn't made 2 hours ago when we talked about this.
I think there's an
interesting
opening.
Comment that we heard the second time around.
I think they're looking for, I think they're looking at everybody right now. Like, there's an opening.
But they've geared everything this season to having Cam Newton as their quarterback.
Has it gotten better? Has it gotten better week to week? With
no. Well, no, this week sucked. It was a horrible week.
Okay.
It was a horrible week
for
the
offense and for Cam
Newton.
So the coach's job during a regression week of a player, like we had Chase Winovich on every week, right? There were games where he only played four snaps. Why? Because maybe he didn't do what the coach wanted him to do in the week prior. And that's we've seen that with guys like Jamie Collins. Well, sit your ass down if you're not doing what we're telling you to do.
It makes sense because Stidham didn't run with it over the summer when he had the chance, right? Maybe they're giving him a second opportunity before they let him go next year or something.
What chance though? Like what chance did he run? What was there constructed team activities?
They were even in reps, and all of a sudden
they were disappointed he got hurt. They were disappointed he got hurt.
Were they disappointed he got hurt or disappointed he didn't play through it?
I think they're disappointed that the MRI didn't show anything.
Disappointed the MRI came back negative.
Yeah. Like a kid gets a paper cut. Oh, yeah, paper cut at school. It hurts so bad. Let me see it. Where is it? I don't see it.
But if he's a much better option, that's not enough reason to go away from him and not even really consider letting him play for 12 weeks.
I've been told he and Hoyer are the best throwers they have. And Hoyer doesn't even dress.
Well, no, because Cam's the quarterback.
And well, but Stidham was one, right? Stidham was one to start camp, and he got bumped down to three, and he's worked his way back up to two. Is this the opportunity to make me say, oh, we give you a chance at one and see what happens, see how he reacts? That, well, I don't know why that stuck in my head when Joe said that.
Here's what's interesting in what Bill said today, right? Those comments were today about we'll see how it goes and we'll reevaluate things. See, he's already had his practice, right? Maybe he did well in practice. He said, ooh, hey, Cam, take your time getting healthy. You know?
Based on one week? There's no way it's based on
just
1 week.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they see things where, hey, maybe we ain't going to freak out the way everybody thinks we're going to freak out if Tom Brady gets suspended, because we're going to take a pretty good look at this Garoppolo kid. Things are trending pretty well with him. All right, coaches like that when guys step up. I don't know. Maybe he stepped up this week. I don't know that.
617-779-0985. More on the possibility of a quarterback change happening for the Patriots this week, and your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Them sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Christmas. Well, it's not that thing that Beatle made us listen to yesterday.
What was that thing?
I don't know.
What, Johnny Hathaway?
Sleigh bells jingling, ring, ring, tingling too. Ring-a-ling-a-ling, that's Christmas. Sleigh ride together. Man, that was a nice little song, yeah, but I'd say, hey, it's Christmas. Did they play that last night on the little lighting of that Christmas tree?
I don't know.
Do you know that there was an owl that they found? I didn't even know that. Someone said a little baby owl, one of those little miniature owls, was stuck in a tree. Yeah, they named the owl Rockefeller, and they released it back into the wild.
Not in New York City, I hope.
Oh, no. That thing, owl couldn't eat anywhere.
That's not the wild.
Yeah.
You got to go find some trees, man. Very few of those. Central Park doesn't qualify.
Yeah, stick it in the Bronx.
Yeah, you can put a little Yankee hat on it.
Boy, you got a big problem with Kemba.
Maybe he can sign a contract with the Celtics.
Beatles got such a problem with the Yankee hat.
People are pissed at me about that.
Who's pissed at you?
Twitter.
Why would they be pissed about a hat?
Because I said Kemba's got a stupid hat on. That's what I said.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yankee hat.
You're Boston born. You're Boston born and raised.
I hate Yankee hats. I hate anything to do with the Lakers.
That's a pretty hat.
Well, somebody
blue and white hat's pretty hat.
Somebody brought my name into it. Is like, hey, you know, he's from there. Whatever, you don't, you know, give up your fandom just because you move. And you know, like, would you get on Hardy's case? You don't get on Hardy's case for wearing a Lions hat. You know what I don't do? I don't wear a Lions hat when I'm hosting Patriots.com pre and post. You know, you don't do it. You don't. You may be a fan of a team. You don't. You don't fly those colors when you're appearing with another team. And I do believe you can be fans multiple. I believe you can be a fan of the Lions and anything else on earth, and there is no conflict.
I don't think
it's only certain teams that irritate me, though. Like, you know, people brought up the Jason Tatum thing with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, if you had an Atlanta Braves hat on, you wouldn't say
it's along those same lines, but it's like, you know, the St. Louis Blues are not some long-standing Boston rival that we, you know, can't stand as a city.
I don't think Kemba would even know about that. Like, really? That happened?
If you're
like, he's so in his basketball world.
If you're on the podium as a member of a Boston sports team, you shouldn't wear a Yankees hat. Any
team. It's not that hard. Brady did this, and he did it. correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he do it at the podium in 2001? Before the whole thing in 2007 when he was in New York City?
I know he had a Yankee hat. He had a Yankee hat in his locker.
Yeah. Okay, it was in his locker. I remember this. Yeah. It was like in the locker, and he wore it at the locker in 2001. And people were pissed at him then. A different time. People cared more about the Yankee rivalry then. And Mark Capello, our very own Mark Capello, has a great story about taking Brady. Brady came to visit the WBCN studios that year.
Uh-huh.
There's an amazing recording of him and John Riley, our buddy John Riley. And he took Brady from the BCN studios right around the corner to the Twins shop on Yawkey Way to get him a hat, which is now Jersey Street, of course.
Oh.
But he took him over to Twins and said, listen,
let's go
get you a real fitted Red Sox hat if you're going to be the quarterback in the New England Patriots. Ditch the Yankee hat guy. What are you doing? No, it's – you know what it is on Twitter, too? There's no tone, and people take you at your absolute worst. Like,
there's
it's not a big deal, guys. But it's a suggestion. Can you ditch your Yankee hat? I just don't like the Yankees. Can you please not wear like a major Boston Rivals hat? Can we just not do that?
LeBron did it too.
Lakers, Canadians, Yankees.
LeBron wore the Yankee hat.
Who did?
LeBron wore the Yankee hat too, didn't he?
Is that a big rivalry in Cleveland?
No, I know, but just like, what are you doing, the Yankee hat? Like, it's like the Yankees just like such a front runner hat. Like,
and he's from the Bronx. I know he's from the Bronx. I know he's a Yankee fan.
Nobody's wearing a Met hat. Nobody's throwing a Met hat.
You don't have to wear it to the podium.
Jay-Z raps about the Yankees. It's Yankees. It's Yankees. It's Yankees. It's a thing. I don't know. I think times have changed so much when we grew up because we're so drilled into root for our hometown teams.
We care.
We're born. We're raised in it. Today, nowadays, I drop my kid off at school, and I tell you this: I see 80 different jerseys when I drop.
All they care about is the individuals now.
Steph Curry jerseys. You know, yeah.
That's all it is. It's what sports has become.
Mahomes,
unfortunately.
Mahomes, yes.
Beckham.
My kid wants a Russ Wilson. My kid wants a Russ Wilson jersey this Christmas.
What?
Slapped him. Wrong with you? Got to find a cheap one. I'm not paying full price for that.
You're going to
find a cheap one.
He'll get him what he wants.
Hey, so I'm still waiting for my Zolak jerseys, dude.
What's going on in China?
I don't know. You know, limited air travel, I'm told.
That boat.
Did you ever get your wipes? Your Wuhan wipes?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Beetle? I thought of you the other day. I was at a checkout and I saw one
of those wipes they had lined
up. No, I saw one of those grab the door handle things that you got two of them for like $30.
Unfortunately, Hardy, I purchased that in the early days of the pandemic.
Oh,
we've since learned that fomite transmission of COVID-19 is not as strong as originally thought.
Oh.
And therefore, I haven't been using mine.
Oh, haven't been using? What do you mean? You were so excited for them.
I was. You know, things have changed. Science evolves. You know, thoughts evolve.
And I misspoke.
You know who I bet is still using his all the time?
Who?
Because he's a total germaphobe.
Who?
Is Giardi. I sent one to Giardi.
Really?
He was incredibly thankful. He owes me a favor for it. I bet he's using that thing every day still.
Well, I apologize. I didn't see one like for sale at the checkout. It was literally, take one of these with you when you go, please.
No, it wasn't.
It was right next to the take a penny, leave a penny cup.
No,
like
no,
we literally don't want these.
You know what?
That's
and can't sell them.
That lady that drives me freaking crazy.
That's
that local Stills and Dills lady. I don't know her name. Lisa something. And she's like, look what I have here. It's the key thing, and you can do this, and you run around. And
where do you see this person?
I don't know.
It's that local Stills and Dills commercial that's on.
I've never seen it. I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Nobody knows. Local Stills and Dills?
I've never
TV
seen
said
it.
Lisa Robertson?
Lisa Roberson or Robertson,
right.
Yes. Am I correct?
I don't know.
Yeah. And she was pumping this thing.
Like he knew.
Well, if you call
that's what TV tells me. I don't know.
You'll call now. Oh, see, there we go. So you call now. We'll not only give you one, we'll give you two for the price of one. And you can do this with it. You're running around and people germs. You know how many people touch this thing? She's so demonstrative with her hands. She drives me crazy. I want to turn the channel when it comes on. And she's always selling some like hokey dokey thing. It's always in the mornings. I'm sitting there watching news in the mornings, have a cup of coffee. Hi, it's me for your local Stills and Deals. Hello.
What channel do you watch? What do you watch?
I flip back to four, five, and seven.
What the hell are you watching?
Four, five, six, seven.
It's on channel 002 and goes all the way up.
I've never seen that.
At least I got a cable box and like a real man.
Oh!
Grid boy.
Oh! Let's go to Jeff in Nashua.
Open your YouTube, Bruins and be on YouTube.
Jeff, you ever seen the local steals and deals gal? I don't know who she is.
It is something we're working on.
No,
and I
know.
Oh, wait. We got a
cluster.
Down.
Hello.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah,
go.
All right. How are you, boys? No, I have not seen Stills and Dills. Is that a show about moonshine and pipples?
No. That's one of your best lines ever, Jeff.
Oh, I see Stills and Dills.
Stills and Dills.
As always, I'm fired up, you know, to be on with you guys on Twisted Tea Thursday.
Nice.
Yeah, well, hearing Chase Winovich say, get together with your friends and toss some cornhole never gets old. And I think you should do a simple Google search and put cornhole and Deliverance and Ned Beatty together and see what he comes up with. But,
all right. Getting close.
Close to the line, Jeff. Stay on the right side of the line.
I mentioned a couple of weeks back about the Sports Hub Super Contest.
Yeah.
And this morning on TNR, Pick Chats was on there talking Major Shade about RJ Bell. And I think it's always a red flag when one touts themselves by slandering others. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, about the
they all partake in that.
Lifshitz can't handle RJ Bell.
RJ Bell can't handle the Bankroll Boys. They all talk smack about each other.
Yeah. They're all in each other's kitchen.
It goes both ways.
I would say the one least affected by it is Joe Murray, who appreciates the mentions from RJ Bell.
He's just sitting there.
Well, Joe Murray is like, no, RJ Bell's, you see how many followers he has and all the stuff he does? Yeah, bring my name up all the time. Bring it up as much as you want. But between RJ and Lifshitz, for them, it's personal.
Yeah, it's personal. It's a personal thing.
What?
Bruce Luchador. He beat Sosie's twins.
DeVito, he what?
DeVito and Schwarzenegger. Look at Bruce Luchador's tweet. He's Photoshop. He said to get even with Bob, he's going to Photoshop Bob all day today in pictures. He's very upset with what Bob did yesterday.
With saying that you were like Lapham.
Yeah.
But you and Bob are good now.
Me and Bob are great. Nothing wrong with me and Bob.
617-779-0985. LeGarrette Blount has chimed in on the best running back in the NFL.
Oh.
Yeah, sort of. I'm sort of exaggerating that. But LeGarrette Blount is talking about himself and his relationship with the New England Patriots, I guess you could say. It's pretty interesting. It's fun. It's a fun comment. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Szolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I feel like that's granted for, you know, that's placed for a reward. You know, I feel like you should get your pay. I feel like you should get your check. I feel like the team should, you know, put that respect behind you and, you know, put that trust and believe in you to let you know that, hey, we got your back, you know. So I think a lot of teams don't do that. I think a lot of teams just let their, you know, if you got a nice running back, they think that in the next couple of years there might be another nice running back like you or another nice running back like you. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
to this day, I don't think the Eagles have been able to replace me. And to this day, I don't think the Patriots have been able to replace me.
Let's go! Yeah!
The Pat McAfee Show yesterday, he had LeGarrette Blount on the show, and that's what LeGarrette Blount said. I don't think the Eagles have been able to replace me. I don't think the Patriots have been able to replace me. And I joked about him talking about the best running back in the NFL, because did you know the best running back in the NFL is Damian Harris, according to Pro Football Focus? Did you know that, so?
I did not know that.
Well, that's where they've got him. They've got him ranked number one. Mm. So
is he right or is he wrong?
I think he's wrong. But I can sort of – have they had someone as consistent and as steady as he was?
No, so he's right. I saw this, and then I read the stats. I'm like, huh. I think I liked LeGarrette Blount a little bit more than the average Duck.
He's more effective than he got credit for.
I like the way he would move
a
pile.
He was great at the start of the Super Bowl against the Falcons. He was great in that.
Right,
one.
And well, there's your one, and I'll give you there's your 30 other ones. All right.
He would drag guys with him.
Yeah,
you know when he would, especially in you know tight formations, you get into the red zone, everything's packed in. It's like it didn't bother him, but I understood that he wasn't obviously like a game changer, but right. He's not talking about being a game changer. He's like, they haven't had anybody like him. They haven't anybody to replace him. And in other words, have they had anybody as good?
I think the guy they have now is.
Yes, the guy they have now is better than him.
He needs more opportunities. Like
the problem
like
is he just hasn't had the time as right. Patriots running
well,
back.
Well, that's a huge part of it. It's like you have to be able to first show me you're going to be there in the most important stat of all, which is games played. And okay, then we can have that conversation about Damian Harris in a year. But right now, no. I'm not willing to say that, you know, there you go. You've got your guy. It looks like he could be. But show me after 16 games.
Yeah.
Show me week in and week
show
out that you can take that kind of beating and that you can be an effective mover of the ball and not just someone who's you know going to show up from time to time and not be. It would help if you know the Patriots used him like they did the other week and had a featured back, had a guy that they were going to go to week in and week out, so that it would help just for comparison purposes. But I don't. What I want more than anything is for him to be the guy and to prove that he's the guy. But right now he hasn't proven it yet. It's just the sample size too small.
2 years ago, you had to go with Sony and Rex as a combination when you won the Super Bowl. And last year, you really didn't have that bell cow. You had no running game.
I mean, Sony, his first year was, you know, nearly a 1,000-yard rusher, and he averaged over 4 yards a carry. I mean, he was good his rookie year. He was good in his second year last year.
He was very productive. He was productive.
They've had two productive years out of him, and I think Damian Harris is a better runner than both Sony Michel and LeGarrette Blount.
I think there's better upside with Harris over Blount. I do. And I
how would Blount run on this team with 10 guys in the box every play?
He would get locked up at the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely.
Most times.
That's why I say no, that they didn't miss out on replacing him.
He's got Brady handing him the ball.
Right.
Yeah, with Edelman and Gronk and Amendola and guys all over the field and Brandon Cooks.
I always felt like he was a guy who sort of padded stats too.
Belichick told me they stacked the box in that pregame interview a week ago that since Randy Moss left, they've got 10 guys, 8 guys in the box.
And what happens if Brady sees that with the weapons he had?
Check.
He checks out to a pass, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It puts it in the vicinity of a receiver, yes.
Yeah, so in terms of ability, they have found guys with, I think, equal or better ability in both Sony Michel, who nobody is high on, it seems like, right now, and Damian Harris. So in terms of finding a guy with his ability, they've done just fine figuring that out. Like, I don't think and nobody was saying, oh, the Patriots have really struggled to replace LeGarrette Blount until LeGarrette Blount said it. No one was thinking about him.
No. It's a pretty good comment, though.
No,
love him saying it, though.
And he won a Super Bowl. He won Super Bowls with each team, though. That's kind of cool.
It's also because we've been too consumed with talking about how they haven't been able to actually get a suitable quarterback. There's a few other issues on the team. Lack of wide receivers, lack of a tight end for year after year.
Yeah,
Blount
had pretty good quarterbacks.
And, oh, by the way, losing the greatest quarterback of all time and going with what we have now, which has been... has been interesting and it's been fun and I'm not this isn't a kill Cam segment because you know how I feel about Cam and how I still think he's the guy I want to see for the rest of the season, but don't think that just because we haven't talked about the Patriots haven't replaced LeGarrette Blount and it took him bringing it up. Well, we haven't been talking about the running backs much at all. There's bigger fish to fry on this team right now.
Yeah, but running back is not a problem. I mean, we've looked at running back this year as a position of strength, especially before Rex Burkhead was hurt.
Yeah, but
nobody's saying they have problems running the ball.
No, but it was certainly a tandem effort between Rex Burkhead before he got hurt and then Damian Harris who came on. And it's still a small sample size for Damian Harris.
I mean, they made it work in the year after Blount was here with Deion Lewis. Right, Deion Lewis had a tremendous year in 2017.
He did, but he was as much of a I think he was impactful as receiver as much as he was as a running back. Yeah. He didn't replace LeGarrette Blount either. It's a different type of player.
I get that, but
I disagree. He was your first and second down back.
He ran for 900 yards, I think, that year. I mean, he was right there in that sort of category as a guy who ran a lot. I'll tell you right now, hold on. Now I'll get that for you.
Yeah, but I mean, I viewed him as more of a scat back. Like, he was a matchup guy. Yeah, it wasn't a guy.
I don't
just
think that's
said,
how they were using him, though, let's in 2017.
Let's keep it two tights and let's run it between the tackles with this guy.
2017. That year, how many carries do you think he had?
I don't know.
It's 92.
I'm going to go
180.
What?
He had 180 carries that year and averaged
it's more than
5 yards a carry, Deion Lewis.
They should have kept him.
Get what you pay for, he said, right?
So the production was not a problem for Deion Lewis in 2017.
So that was that's when Tennessee went and paid him, and that's when they beat the Patriots. They said that's when you get what you pay for.
Yes.
Yeah, he made money.
And Brady gave Vrabel the little tiny trophy for winning that game.
Oh, that's right.
What a dick. Tiny trophy.
Little trophy. Vrabel gets the last laugh again.
Little tiny trophy for him. 617-779-0985. I see your calls waiting. We'll be getting to those, but we got to talk to a man who's getting ready for a very big playoff game. That'll be Bruce Arena, head coach, sporting director of the New England Revolution. He will be with us coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's the final whistle. The Revolution will contest an Eastern Conference championship for the first time in 6 years. Oscar Pareja, Bruce Arena, and the coaching staffs.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. The Eastern Conference Finals in the MLS coming up on Sunday. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution. We're continuing this interview because you guys keep winning, Coach. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. We keep winning. You'll keep getting beer.
At what point, and we like that, but at what point after that win, you say, oh, when everything, like, you realize, like, oh, geez, I got to go on with those three idiots again. When did that sink in?
It never sank in. Come on.
Oh, we're kidding. Congratulations.
You're healthy. You're healthy. The team's getting hot at the right time. And just with everything that's gone on this season, from talking to you in the summer when you were going to Orlando and how sort of a strange year it's been for everything, did you expect to be in this spot?
To be honest with you, I'd say no. I think it's been a real challenging year. I think when we lost Carlos in the bubble down in Orlando, it took a little air out of the bubble for us because, he's obviously a very good player. And then getting him back helped change our team an awful lot. And, we're playing very well right now. Not only Carlos. We're scoring goals. We're defending pretty well. Our fitness level is good. We're confident. So, we're going to give it our best shot Sunday against Columbus.
Speaking of Carlos, I got to ask you about the penalty kick. You guys keep scoring goals early. And on his, it's something I think we've asked you about before. It seems like it takes a lot of guts to go right up the middle with that penalty kick when you're pretty sure that the keeper is going to commit to one side or the other, but there always exists that chance that he's just going to stay still and you're going to kick it right into the keeper's chest. Did you know that's what he was going to do?
We took penalties during the week, and The experienced, composed players have an understanding they need to observe the goalkeeper. So Carlos is smart enough that his approach to the ball was such that he put his eyes on the keeper, saw the keeper leaning one way, because believe it or not, I think he might have gone to the keeper's right where he dove. And once he saw the keeper, break to his right, he just put it right down the middle. So it takes experience, it takes some guts, some composure, and some technical ability, and Carlos has all of that.
Bruce, this time of year, like when you advance to this point, you've seen everything, you've played, you've coached, you've done it all. But, and I know Beto asked you the question, going back to July, you can't envision yourself seeing here, but at some point you do, and then you look across the way, and you got the guy Porter there, and we talk about this with Belichick, where you say, okay, you're going to out-coach that other team. This team that you're going up against, pretty damn well coached. Where do you feel as it gets to this point where you get your juices flowing a little bit, you know, to go up against the best? Is this what you coach for?
For sure. You know, this is what you work for. And you know, at my age, people think that I've lost it. You know, I can't relate to players anymore or keep up with the modern game and all of that. So it's motivating to me as well. You know, I've always, coached to develop good teams and win championships. So, we're right in the thick of it now. And I'm as motivated as the players are, and I look forward to the game.
Well, you talk about Carlos and how well he's playing, and the crew to look ahead to this game are certainly going to pay a lot of attention to him. Do you expect him to be a prime target against Columbus? And what's the best way to sort of protect him and maybe overcome him being the focus of the crew?
Well, I think all year we've talked about we've had to be a better passing team. And if we can pass the ball well in the game, Carlos doesn't need to be touching the ball as much as he does if they want to put a lot of attention on him. We also have some good players around Carlos now. So, our team's better. We play better. We have better players around Carlos. It's really difficult on the size of a soccer field to try to take one player out of the game.
Yeah,
and if they do this, they're going to open up holes in other places. It's like, relationship in basketball. If you double team a player, somebody's going to be open. Same thing in football. You know, we'll have one-on-ones in other spots on the field. We have Gustavo Bow who can score goals. So there's other options we have, and I'm sure they're going to pay attention to Carlos, but we have other players that can hurt him. Well.
If I could jump in, though, is Adam Buxa in your mind one of those guys that has benefited from Carlos being on the field because he heated up there recently?
Most definitely, he gets great service from Carlos, and Adam's also getting better. He's a much player now than he was when we started in 2020. So it's encouraging. I was even say today in training how well Adam's playing. He's starting to get it, you know. And I think you're just making our team more dangerous as we go forward.
Coach, you said something that I don't think it was to us. It was a couple of weeks ago. It may have been, I don't know, maybe to Charlie in one of the other shows, but something relating to Buxa where you said he was having trouble, or not trouble, but it was an adjustment for him on the team and even like being here in the Boston area. Has he been having like some issues in terms of adjusting, and how much does the way he's playing right now help in that regard?
Well, I actually think he's made a real smooth adjustment. We typically see international players in our league need a year or two to get adjusted to the league and adjusted to living in the United States. And Adams picked it up pretty quick. You know, we knew it was going to be tough. He's still, kind of a young man. He just turned 24. So a lot of these things are all new to him. And, I think as the years moved on, he's gained more confidence. He understands the league better because our league is unique to other leagues around the world. And, it's starting to come together for him. So we're real pleased about that.
All right, Coach, I'd like to go back to the beer commentary that you said you continue to win here. We were talking about you guys as an organization, and it's kind of perplexing. You know, you send the beer in. This Turner kid sent us donuts in. You know, you pitch a shutout, you send the donuts in. Is it more about these are individuals like you did this yourself, or do you have very good people that are handlers of the Revolution that say, hey, guys, maybe we should do this for these guys.
Well, we held up a beer truck in order to get you guys
love
the beer.
Nice.
But
nice.
No, I told my guys, they got it for you. You know, we're happy. We have a good sponsor in Anheuser-Busch. So
yeah.
We're real pleased to send you over some of the product.
We appreciate it. We really do. Keep that train rolling, baby.
You know, we've talked about the DPs. We've talked about Matt Turner. But you've also gotten big contributions from young guys on this team. Kessler, Jones. We were talking about Buchanan the other day. Have they exceeded expectations in your mind?
They have. You know, when I drafted Henry this year, our thoughts were he was going to play on Revolution 2 and he'd be developed and In a couple of years, he'd be ready to play for the first team. He came in and impressed us. He works real hard. He's here every day, a couple hours after training, taking care of himself, whether it's in the weight room or in the training room. And he gets really focused. And you know, we're at times pretty critical of him about some of his mistakes, and he takes in everything. So he's been a great professional. A great surprise. DeJuan, I obviously knew from last year what a great athlete he is. He's growing into the position. Again, that's not his natural position, so he's making an adjustment there, and he gets better every week. And Tajon Buchanan's a very talented kid, a really good athlete. And, you know, when Carlos came back, there was a chance that maybe he wouldn't be in our first 11. So moving him to right back into a new position was a way of keeping him on the field. And I sensed that he could do it because he's a real competitive kid. He has a real edge to himself. So he could make that adjustment, and he's done great. And if you see over the last couple of games, he's been not only part of a group of defenders that have defended well, but he's helped create some goal-scoring opportunities for us.
Which brings me to my next question. Alex Buettner has not been available, but he's been training, correct? Is he back in training? And
he just got back training. He was out for a couple of weeks, and now he's back in training. So we'll see how he does the rest of the week and whether we include him in the game day roster.
So if he's available come Sunday, do you feel like you have a tough decision to make there?
I don't think I do because, the group that's been playing has done real well. I don't think I need to make any changes.
All right, Coach. Best of luck this coming weekend. We'll be watching and rooting for you. And let's hopefully be talking about another
good luck Sunday, man.
Week.
Yeah,
yeah. Hopefully we talk again next week about the next game. That would be great.
That'd All right, awesome. Coach. Good luck. Go get him.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Bruce Arena joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline ahead of the Eastern Conference Finals this Sunday afternoon, taking on the Columbus Crew.
Zoe's very upset with you, Beetle.
I'm impressed.
He formulated what he thought was the perfect question.
You took my question word for word, the first one.
It really was.
Which one?
The bubble, going back to July in the bubble. Just could you close your eyes and would you ever envision yourself taking the field this Sunday at 3 o'clock? Could you envision? He said no. It's a good question.
I apologize.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.